जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षील प्रभुपाद की అనందుగోడి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి స్వయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానకి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌ ప్రేమానంది All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namam Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Di Namine Namaste Saraswadevim Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavali Paschati Deshadarini Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्ण एव हि స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం ఫలా సర్వదా త్వయం నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరత అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాడ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జితగైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభిత్తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాహ్యనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొణితాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం నా కణికాపి కాపికాపి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యం నమ వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായി നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായി നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഹംസാവതാരം ആൻസർ ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി സൺസ് ഓഫ് ബ്രഹ്മ. സോ കൃഷ്ണാസ് അപ്പിയറൻസസ് ഹംസ, ഹംസാവതാർ ഓർ അപ്പിയറൻസസ് ഹംസ, ഹി ആൻസേഴ്സ് ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി സൺസ് ഓഫ് ബ്രഹ്മ. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ ദേ ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഫ്രം ദി സനകാദയ ഊച്ചു, ദി കുമാരശാസ്ത്രീസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഗുണേഷു ആവിശതേ ചേതു ഗുണശ്ചേതസി ച പ്രഭോ കഥം അന്യൂന്യസന്ധ്യാഗോ മുമുക്ഷോർ അതിഥിതീർഷോഹോ. സനക മഹർഷി ആൻഡ് ദ ഫോർ കുമാരശാസ്ത്രീസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഗുണേഷു ആവിശതേ ചേതോ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വേഴ്സ് 17, ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ആൻസർ, ആസ് വി ടോക്ട് അബൌട്ട് മെനി ടൈംസ് ബിഫോർ, that the minds of human beings are naturally attracted towards the objects of sense gratification, and sense objects enter the mind in the form of material desires, which means in the form of vasanas. Considering this, how can a person who desires liberation, who wants to desist from the activities of sense gratification, sever the mutual tie between the sense objects and the mind? Please explain to us. This was the question. Very difficult question, isn't it? We don't know the answer, do we? It's a difficult question. Even the question itself is, unless one understands the subtle aspect of vasanas inside a person and senses and sense enjoyment and sense objects and sense gratification, one should know sense objects, one should know the senses, one should know the one should know the how the vasanas work inside a person. Only then one will understand that question. That means the sense objects, when in contact with the senses, it turns into sense gratification. Sense gratification means it will leave some impressions inside in the form of vasanas. Isn't it? It will leave some impressions inside in the form of vasanas. So, if the senses don't go away to the sense objects, if the mind does not go to the sense objects will come to the mind. And on the other hand, normally the mind goes through the senses to the sense objects. If somehow or the other, if you stop the mind going to the sense objects through the sense objects are saying, we will come to you if you can't come to us. This is how normally the system works, isn't it? And this is all what is going on throughout the day in us, in our life, isn't it? So the question Sanaka Maharshi, the four Kumaras, are asking is this, that how can this happen? How can we stop this? Because in creation itself, the process has started like this from day one. As soon as our Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam has developed, or knowledge, senses of knowledge and senses of action has developed, immediately the sense gratification has started, straight away. And once it has started, only at the time of death it stops. Till then it goes on day after day after day. Isn't it? Without any break, it continues throughout the day. So this question is a very difficult question, because of the very, it is questioning actually that how come the creation is like this? That's what the Kumara's question is. How come, how can we handle this situation? How, where is the question of one who is looking for liberation can stop these things? This is the question they have raised. So when Kumara's raised this question, as I saw before, that the spiritual life is a very bumpy ride. In other words, it's a very bumpy ride. At no point you can say that you have freed yourself from the grip of Maya. At no point in time you can say that you are freed from the grip of Maya. We will discuss this later when we discuss about rasa dance in Krishna, the five chapters. We will specifically discuss it later at some other point in time. There are a lot of things Krishna has, Sukadeva Goswami has spoken about spiritual life in that. You can see there that the as much as we make progress, we comes back from the progress what you have made in spiritual life. It always happens like that. So because of this interaction between the senses and the sense objects. So here, the question now which Kumaras have asked, the question is always coming back to us. We have a misunderstanding here. We are thinking that once we have reached a certain stage, we won't fall back from there, from spiritually. Isn't it? But if you look into all these great personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see they all had difficulties at some point or the other. Lord Brahma, in spite of being the first person who received a Srimad Bhagavatam directly from Krishna, isn't it? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. That is how Bhagavatam begins, isn't it? And that is not transmitted through words. Brahma Hridaya, from heart to heart. From Krishna's heart directly to Brahma's heart. That is how the Bhagavatam was delivered to Brahma. That's why it's said there, isn't it? Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyandayat Suraya. Janmadhyase Yadonvaya Idra Sartesh Abhijnaswarat Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Adikavi. That is why Brahma has become that. So this message, Srimad Bhagavatam, has come from Krishna to Brahma, the first person to receive Srimad Bhagavatam. And then later on you will find from Sankarsana Murti, Srimad Bhagavatam has come to this world through these four Kumaras. That you will know in the third canto. If you remember, Bhagavatam has two paramparas in this world. One through Brahma, Narada, Vedavyasa, like that, Sukadeva Goswami, this parambara. There is another parambara which comes from Lord Balaram, Sankarsana Murti. From Balaram, it comes to Sankhyayana Maharshi. And through Sankhyayana Maharshi, it comes to Kapila. And Kapila, and through that route, it comes through that way, it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam. In another line, through the Kumaras, it comes through. That is in the third canto. If you look, you will see there. I think in the fifth or sixth chapter, you will find that this flow of Srimad Bhagavatam through another parampara, Sankhyayana Maharshi's parampara. So Srimad Bhagavatam came through them, and the four Kumaras are people who have received, personalities who have received Srimad Bhagavatam before. And the question comes here, they were directly the children born from Brahma, isn't it? Brahma's Manasaputras they are called. Having said all that, and they were always Jnananishtha, they are always situated in the state of knowledge, in the Brahman realization state. How come that they got into this situation? This is an important question. People will ask this question, isn't it? That Brahma, okay, the answer was given in the Bhagavatam, that Lord Brahma also got into difficulties sometimes, isn't it? 3-4 instances you can see that in the Bhagavatam, when Brahma got into difficult spiritual problems. What was that? One incident was, Brahma mentions there, that the what happened with that past time in Vrindavanam with Krishna, isn't it? That particular pastime where Brahma felt like stealing Krishna's cows and wanted to test Krishna. That is a offense inside. That has happened. That happened and Brahma had to pay a very heavy price for that. He was almost losing his job and practically made redundant, but he didn't. Somehow or the other, Krishna gave it back to him, the job again. So you can see Brahma made that mistake. Here again you see another instance where Brahma, who is our parampara, begins from him, isn't it? Brahma, Narada, Vedavyas, like that the parampara comes. Brahma again fall into the same illusion here. When Kumaras asked this question, Brahma couldn't answer. And being a father, he felt very, a little bit uneasy about it, because generally all fathers believe, or at least all they want to convince their own children that they know everything. All fathers believe in that, isn't it? That their authority is questioned, they don't like it. So fathers are supposed to know everything as far as the children are concerned. So when Kumaras asked this question and Brahma could not answer that question, again there was a problem. Brahma had a problem. Similarly, you will see other instances also. Brahma explaining his situation. When Sri Narada Maharshi asked this question to Brahma about Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma explained Srimad Bhagavatam to Narada Maharshi in three chapters. You can see that in the second canto. Three chapters, the 1-4 verses, what Krishna gave to Brahma, Brahma handed it over to Sri Narada Maharshi in three chapters. You can read them in the Bhagavatam. So while explaining those three chapters, Brahma says to Sri Narada Maharshi, all about different incarnations and all the other different pastimes of Krishna, everything he spoke, but one thing he kept behind. What was that? That what happened in Vrindavanam with Krishna. He didn't mention that to Sri Narada Maharshi. Deliberately kept out of it. You will see that. If you read that Bhagavatam, you will notice these things. Why did he do that? Because Brahma felt the need to say that, I am the father. I should not say what has happened to me to Narada Maharshi. He didn't say that. Anyway, Brahma had these difficulties with devotees. Even at that instance, Brahma. And the answer given in this chapter is karmadhi. That means engage in karmam all the time. Somehow or the other, this misunderstanding in us. Karmam is the answer to the problem. Karmam is not the answer to the problem. Problem is bhakti and jnanam. That is what is Krishna says is free yourself from this material existence. Karmam is a disease that has happened to us. Somehow or the other, we caught all of the disease called karmam. If it is like that with Brahma, why did this happen to the Kumaras? That question also will come, isn't it? They are always Jnananishtha. And they have also received Srimad Bhagavatam like Brahma received Srimad Bhagavatam from the parampara of Balaram. Balaram's parampara, Sankrishna Murthy's parampara, Adishesh Bhagavan. So there we have to understand that even in the realized state, sometimes things can go wrong. A certain instances. Kumara's situation was such, they felt this ignorance somehow came to them, that how to separate this out. Although they were in the jnanam process, position, state of realization, still they asked this question. Now here, in Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us something, very important thing, that this relationship with Krishna and the devotee, or Krishna and the person who is looking for self-realization, it has to be progressive all the time. It has to be always progressive. In the Bhagavatam, you will also see another instance when this great devotee, Sri Narada Maharshi, felt like checking about Krishna. Isn't it? Krishna's householder life. He wanted to understand how can Krishna conduct such a householder life of 16,108 wives. How come one person can manage such a big householder life? How is he able to do that? So this doubt came to Narada Maharshi's mind, and then Narada Maharshi goes all over Dwaraka looking for each and every house and seeing that in every house Krishna was present and running the householder life. So then he comes back and mentions this to others who are questioning Krishna's whether Krishna could manage it or not. So all these things happen in spiritual life also to everybody. In a similar situation like that, that even like the Kumaras felt like the need for cursing the Jaya and Vijaya in the Vaikuntha planets, isn't it? When they were there, they cursed him. How could this happen? One wonder that they were in the Vaikuntham already. Vaikuntha means a place where is no kuntidam. That means there is no more anxiety there. Like lust, anger, greed, fighting for position. All these things does not exist in Vaikuntham. It's a place free from anxiety. And in such a place, how could this happen? That question can always come up, isn't it? But it can happen because sometimes some ray of ignorance can come inside and it can take away the knowledge. It has happened to everybody. It has happened to Brahma. It has happened to our Sri Narada Maharshi. It has happened to the four Kumaras. They are all spiritually, transcendentally situated personalities. And it has happened to them. So, in addition to that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the greatest of all the devotees going through the same situation. In the middle of Rasa dance, when at some point, Krishna left Radharani and went away. Isn't it? Krishna left Radharani and went away from there. At that point, Radharani also realized that there is something wrong with her. That why did this happen? So, basically, what Srimad Bhagavatam is important point it is pointing out is that in spiritual life, constantly false ego inside has to be taken out. All the time, the false ego has to grow from inside. Even there is a slightest trace of false ego inside, Krishna pulls back. Whether it is Srimati Radharani, whether it is Lord Brahma, whether it is Sri Narada Maharshi, whether it is four Kumaras, it doesn't matter. No matter who it is, as soon as there is a trace of false ego inside, Krishna pulls back. All the other things like lust, anger, greed, and then envy, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, all the other qualities, Krishna will tolerate. But this one thing, even if there is a slightest trace of false ego inside, Krishna will pull back at that point. And this is what has happened to Srimati Radharani also in the middle of Rasa dance. Isn't it? At one point, Radharani thought Krishna is under my control. As soon as that thought comes, Krishna has disappeared from there. Isn't it? Krishna says there, it is in the Bhagavatam, recorded like that, that if this can happen to Srimati Radharani, what about all the other personalities like us, great souls like us? What can happen? So you can see there, spiritual life means constant purification. That this ego inside, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the person who is doing, running the show. This has to go completely from inside before we talk about any other thing. So there is so many things. So similar situation, Kumaras also lost their position as the Jnana Nishtha. That Nishtha or the state of steadiness in spiritual life. What Kumaras were experiencing, the bliss of the Brahman realization, for a moment they lost it. They also felt the need to ask this question to Brahma, and then they asked the question to Krishna also. So, Sanagadi Uju, when they asked that question, if you look at Krishna's answer was also, that you will see there, that Krishna answers the question, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, you will go back to the verse, which is 22. We have looked at other verses already, and that's all about appearance of, but a real answer from Krishna begins at this verse. Vastuno yadi anana atvam atmana prasnami idrisha katham kadedavo vipra vaktur me vakturva meka ashrayaham. Vastuno yadi anana atvam atmana prasnami idrisha katham kadedavo vipra vaktur va meka ashrayaham. Verse 22 says there, my dear Brahmanas, if you believe that I am also a jiva soul and that there is no ultimate difference between us, because all souls are ultimately one without individuality, your question does not seem relevant. because the spirit soul has no designation such as caste, on what basis should I answer your question? So, vastuno yadi ananatvam. Ananatvam means this diversity among the soul. If atmana prashnam idrisha, katham gadedavo vipra vakturvame ka ashrayaha. It says here, because all souls are ultimately one without individuality, your question does not seem relevant. That was the answer straight away from Krishna to the Kumaras. He says here that vastudaha almanaha yadi ananatvam hi tarhi he vipraha va idrisha prasnaha katham khadeda. That means, if you only think that there is a diversity among the souls, there is so many souls, individual souls existing, then that you can ask that question. But there is only one, Krishna is saying there. If there is only one, then vastudaha yadi ananatvam. Ananatvam means this, that means there is no diversity. Then that means there is no nanatvam. There is no multiplicity. In other words, atmanaha prasnam kadham idrashaha. What meaning has this question got? That is this answer from Krishna. Vajarambho. It says here, it is mere a word jugglery. It's merely a word jugglery. Andarthahataha. Then he says there in 23 words, panjalmageshu budeshu samaneshu cha vastudaha ko bhavan iti vaprasno vacharambo anarthakaham. He says here, panjalmageshu budeshu samaneshu cha vastuda ko bhavan iti vaprasno vacharambo anarthakaham. He says here, then first thing Krishna did was, while answering the Kumaras, that he may prove to them that the question itself is wrong before talking, giving the answer. The question itself is wrong because you are asking about whom. That's what Krishna is saying. Suppose if I have to say that I am somebody, that I am staying separate from everything, isn't it? So where is the question of person who is asking and the person who is answering? That doesn't exist, he says. So therefore, this is an important thing, because in the self-realized state, those who have reached that state of Brahman realization, where they have come to the platform of the oneness of the soul, their dealings each other is different than a relationship with a devotee and Krishna. Then the jnani's process is so different. In that state, when they relate with each other, they have a different relationship. For example, two realized souls met each other. One older person, he was probably in his 70s, old, 70, 75 year old person, came to see this another realized soul who was early 40s in his life. So when he came to see him, normally what happens in life, when we go to see somebody, you expect that person to receive you, isn't it? Receive you, and he will probably ask you who you are, where you have come from, or if you do not know each other, there will be some kind of communication between the two people, isn't it? Between the two people. Now what we have to remember here is that in their case, this didn't happen. The older person came to see him. The other person was sitting inside. Only thing he did was he invited him to come and have prasadam. After that, without saying one word, he left. When he left, the older person who had come to visit him, he says that I have understood that state of mind. Saying, because in that state, what you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, isn't it? Yam pravrajandam anubedam apetakrityam dvaipayano virahakataram ajuhavam putredidanmaidaya taravobhinedu tam sarvabhudahridayam munim anatosmi. Sukadeva Goswami's position, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about Sukadeva Goswami, saying to him that tam sarvabhudahridayam. Sarvabhuda Hridayam, that means he is present in everyone's heart. That realization is always in that state. Who? Sukadeva Goswami. So when Vedavyasa Maharshi called Sukadeva Goswami's name, who answered? the trees and the plants have been answering on behalf of Sudeva Goswami. Why? Sudeva Goswami answered through the trees and plants to Vedavyas, not directly. He answered them. That is what that word, Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munim Anatosmi. That Sarvabhuda Hridayam, present in everyone's heart. This realization is what is talked here. That when the jnanis, when the realized souls, when they meet each other, they know that it is the same soul, one soul inside their heart and their own heart. So when that realization has happened in their sides, where is the question of asking, one asking the other, when did you come, who are you, where are you coming from? These are for those who are in the mundane consciousness. But spiritually realized souls and discussions are like that. They do not talk to each other about anything. After serving the food, because that is a courtesy as far as the body is concerned, it has to be done. So that much was done. Nothing else was spoken. Where he has come from, where he is going to, who is he, and what is his background, what he is doing. Nothing was spoken. That realization was, and you never felt offended by that, or being not asked. Because in the realized state, what happens is known to both of them very well. That you are helpless about it. You can't do anything about it. That we may feel offended, isn't it? You may feel offended. You go on to see someone. He just asked you to take food and you can go. And even he didn't say one word. He left. And you may feel something. But they didn't feel that. That's what the point is. They never felt like that. Why? Dehastho vina dehastha. No more in the body. Body is finished for them. So that realized state is what is being spoken about here. That seeing that state, he expected that, invited for the meal, went and had the meal, and after the meal was over, he saw this amazing state of consciousness, that only when you know that there is a second person, the mind starts acting, isn't it? Suppose there is no second person, the mind won't get involved in any activity. Suppose you're alone, then you don't feel, the mind does not get agitated quickly, because why? The mind is not thinking about anything else. You are on your own. That means you are limited in that. So similarly, that the activities in the mind will begin only at that state when you feel that there is a second thing existing. There's a second thing existing. And that can be in a good way or in a bad way. The activities inside the mind. So, suppose the person, if it is in a bad way, the person who had come whom you didn't like for some reason, then immediately there will be aversion towards him, and that will develop in the form of a lust, or in the form of an anger or something, or envy. Some way or the other it will develop in that form. So this second object, what we are talking about, is not actually outside. It is inside oneself. One's own inside, the second object exists, isn't it? So only if an object outside, it creates some excitement or emotions inside, only then you can say second object is existing. If it is not creating any emotions inside, then you can say even if it is physically another object is existing, in reality it doesn't exist. You see? Generally, we have to look at these things in a practical level also. In day-to-day life, our mind is agitated or disturbed over someone when that some object or a person creates some emotions inside us. If that person is not creating any movement of the mind inside, as far as you are concerned, that person is not existing. Yeah? That's an important point. So, why this is important, we'll come to that later. As long as we realize that another person is existing, mean the symptom of that person's existence is either in the form of a reaction inside in a good way or in a bad way. Suppose the person, you have some attachment for him or a love for him or respect for him, that will automatically generate some good feelings inside towards him. Immediately what's happening, you are recognizing the existence of another living entity there, separately from this, from you. On the other hand, if that person is not friendly towards you, or that person is inimical towards you, naturally that will create some ill feelings inside. Immediately you have again accepted duality there. This is the birth of duality in a person. So what we have to understand is duality begins not because of the mat or because of the object or a person outside, because of the emotions it creates inside us. That is where duality begins. That is the main point where Hamsavataram is coming to tell us. That Hamsavataram is telling us that in our understanding of life, if this basic thing is understood, then corrections can be made inside. So all the realized souls, they are constantly alert on this one issue, not allow to anything to develop inside, any reaction inside of the existence of another object outside. Krishna will talk about this later in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look, if you have that chapter with you, in the last chapter, one before Jnana Yogam, when he begins, that is the chapter Jnana Yogam, which is I think 29 or 30, that chapter, if you have that, you can look at that. Krishna will mention this there. This is a very important message in the Bhagavatam. Krishna says there, Parasvabhava Karmani, first verse itself begins, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Parasvabhava Karmani, Na Prashamsena Grahayet, Vishwam Ekalmagam Pashyan, Prakritya Purushena Cha. That is how that chapter begins. I don't know whether it is in this book. It is the one before, last chapter is Bhakti Yogam, the one before that, Jnana Yogam. In that, Jnana Yogam chapter. That is, the verse number, this chapter is 28, chapter 28. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. It says there, Parasvabhava Karmani, Krishna says, Parasvabhava Karmani, na prashamse na garhayet. Yeah. Vishwam egalmagam pashyan. Prakritya Purushena Cha. This is the reason why Krishna is telling us, don't glorify anybody, don't criticize anybody. Why? Immediately it will create emotions inside and you will fall from your spiritual position. This is the reason. Parasvabhava Karmani, their svabhavam, their karmam. That means their nature, all their activities. Na prashamsayet, na garhayet. It doesn't have to be prashamsa. Prashamsa means to glorify. Neither praise nor criticize the nature and activities of others. Neither praise nor criticize the activities of others. That is Krishna's instructions to us. That why should we not do that? Because Vishwam Egalmagam. Vishwam Egalmagam. And resting in the absolute. Pashyam. Vishwam Egalmagam Pashyan Prakritya Purushenava. Prakritya Purushena Cha. Ekalmagam means this whole creation is made from one substance, that is the soul. Whole creation is made from one substance. Here, that same thing is coming here in this verse also. Krishna is saying to them, saying to the Kumaras, that all the souls are ultimately one without individuality, he says here, without individuality. We'll come to this. This question will have always in everyone's mind. Is this one or is it two or is it three? All these questions are. That question should not disturb anybody at this stage in life. Our spiritual life, we have not reached that state. Because of want of that answer, our spiritual life is not affected. Our spiritual life, we have got a long way to go before we have to answer that question. So, Vishwam Egalpagam Pashyan, Prakritya Purushena Cha. That's coming here also that the the question is that he says here, because as I mentioned before, this particular chapter, Ekadasha Skandam, this particular chapter is one of the very highest realizations, state of realizations. So therefore, when we discuss this chapter, probably you may find many things in this chapter are not to the things what you have probably read before or you have accepted before within your own heart. You will find so many statements here not in agreement with that. But that should not disturb anybody. We should have that accommodating nature within us to see that all this is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we understand Bhagavatam and we keep reading Bhagavatam, proper realizations will come from that. We should not get too concerned about this question. Oh, because of the answer, I didn't get it, so I can't accept Bhagavatam. That should not be the mood. The thing is this, that vastuno yadi ananatvam, in this particular instance, you have to see what Krishna is saying. Vastuno yadi ananatvam atmana prashnam idrisha. First thing he did was, by answering the Kumaras, the question itself has no meaning. Because the question was, this is happening, but where is the question? How can this happen? This is Krishna's question. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, there is only one thing. Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan, isn't it? Ananatvam. There is no multiplicity in there. Atmana prasnam idrisha. Katham grihita vavipra vakturvame ka ashayam. Yeah. Now, the commentary on this is from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Hamsa incarnation said, my dear Brahmana, you ask me, who are you? Because you consider me to be a living entity like yourself. Do you think that I possess a material body, or do you think that I am the Supreme Lord? How, if you consider me to be a living entity, then as a pure spirit soul, on what basis can I distinguish myself from you? How could you ask me such a question? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati writes there, if there is no difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entities, then there is also oneness of the person who is questioning and the person who is answering. There is oneness there. That's the commentary from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So the question here is that by answering in that way, Krishna did not answer the question, rather said to the Kumaras that the question itself is wrong. Question itself is wrong. Now, this is from a spiritual position, spiritual angle, that is what I said. Now, when you come to the bodily level, okay, if you are asking from a bodily platform this question, that is the answer in the next verse. Panjalmageshu bhudeshu samaneshu javastudam ko bhavan iti va prashno vajarambo hyanarthagaham. He says there, panjalmageshu bhudeshu samaneshu javastudam ko bhavan iti va prashno vajarambo hyanarthagaham. He says here, if you are referring, you were referring to the material body, which is made again of five gross material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, you should have asked, who are you five? If you consider that basically all material bodies are made of the same substance, isn't it? So there also this question is irrelevant. This question has no meaning. Because normally we call somebody by a particular name. But if you don't have a name, you can't identify that person, because as far as the material body is concerned, it's the same material elements in me, in you, in anyone. It's the same elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. Then we have got mind, intelligence, false ego, senses and all that. But basic elements of material body is one and the same for everybody. For everybody. So where is the question of asking, who are you? What meaning has it got? You can only say, I'm made of these five material elements. That's the answer. And if you ask anyone else, he'll say, I'm made of these five material elements. If it is on a bodily level. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That Panjalmageshu, for example, as I mentioned before, that these questions are coming from a purely from a spiritual plane. From a spiritual plane. When we are so conditioned by the material plane, we find it all these questions not making any sense to us, isn't it? Just like I mentioned about this incident between the two realized souls, how they interacted each other. If you look, say you go to somebody's house, and there were small children, say 3 years, 4 years, 5 years old children. And those children, they may not take note of you, would they? They'll be busy with their playing, whatever they want to play. They'll be looking for their friends to play with. You come, they think you are an older person, you come to see the mother or father, and they leave you. They won't be very much interested in making any connection with you. Children's nature is like that, isn't it? When they are children, they are busy with the playing. They look for somebody to play with. So it is in that state, you don't feel offended by that, do you? You don't take any offense at it. Why? Because you know by children, their nature is like that. You don't take it as serious. Whereas in another case, you go to somebody's house and the householder never spoke to you one word and completely ignored you. How you feel it? Similarly, just like in the case of children, what happens? It's the same way when the self-realized soul meet with each other. They don't take offense to each other. Why? Because they are both in the same state of consciousness. That they know, sarvabhuta hridayam munim anatosmi. Sarvabhuta Kadayam, that in everyone's heart he is present. And if it is present, whom am I to ask him who is he? That question has no meaning. Because first you have to establish that he is a person before you can ask that question. That status gone for him, is finished long ago. All that understanding of another material body existing and identification with the body, all that is over for him. So for him, it is difficult to frame this question now, who are you? That question cannot. Ka nama jadihi ko deshaha pravrtika kidvayaha. This is what, when that person left, when the junior person in the self-realized state, if you could move forward, please. When he left and went away, which means that the older person who was realized, when he came and he saw that the other person's state of consciousness, a self-realized soul can easily recognize another self-realized soul. They can easily relate with each other. They don't take any offense to each other by their behavior in that way. So he immediately, when he left, the other person, the younger person left, the older person wrote a verse there and left it behind. He says, Ka namaha, what is my name? He didn't ask. Jatihi, where am I? What is my caste? Anything like that. Ko deshaha, from which place have you come? Pravrti ka, what is my work? What work am I doing? Kind vayaha, what is my age? None of these questions were asked. None of these questions were so, ityadi vada yase vada satseiva hi nirvrutihi. That all these questions, when it does not come up in anybody, you can take it that his state is steady in that state. He is steady in that state. Because, first of all, you have to establish somebody as a person before you can ask these questions. Isn't it? Otherwise, you can't even ask these questions. We are talking about people who are in the realized state. So naturally, it's not like the way we do transact our business in this world. It's completely different. Here, it is so important for us to establish that he is a person, isn't it? And not only that, we say, oh, I have a personal contact with him. I have a personal relationship with him. Which is all bogus, actually, to tell you the truth. They are all from the realized state. All these are bogus. This is all in the ignorant state. All these are valid. That's why it is said that that somebody asked this question, is this world real or unreal? Is this world, Jagat is real or it is a falsity? The answer was this. In ignorant state, it is real. In realized state, it is false. In ignorant state, it is real. But in the realized state, it is false. So that's where the difference is coming from. Similarly, all our transactions in this world, in the ignorant state, it's all real. And in the realized state, it's all false. That's where the difference is coming from. So Krishna says here that if you stay on in this process of material life and continuously establish the individuality of everyone and all these falsity, false dealings, they are all a block in your spiritual advancement, in your spiritual realization. Because Atma Darshanam, or realization of the soul, is telling us completely different aspects of the spiritual nature of the soul. This question doesn't exist. So, there's no question about the individual at that time. Because for them, what they are seeing is Krishna's present as Antaryami inside, as the super soul in everyone. Purna Vastu, complete in itself. It doesn't require any another. They are not seeing the body anymore. They are only seeing the Krishna's presence inside. So he said here, when he left, the older person says, he never asked me to come, he never asked me to go either. He never asked me to come, he never asked me to go either. If we see all these things, we will say, oh, he has no, both of them have no manners, isn't it? That's what we will say about them. Our judgment will be like that. Whereas, because we give so much importance to these so-called manners in this world, whereas their manners are a little different, that's all I'm saying. So, but it is easy to say all these things through the mouth, but you can only You can only understand this when you see that state in a person, when you see that state of consciousness in someone. Only then you can appreciate that, the beauty of that. It is not out of any enmity or any attachment, not due to ragam or dvesham. Raga dvesham have left them. Attachment and aversion had already left them. So therefore, their relationships are purely on the platform of spiritual life. So, platform of spiritual life. And the younger person who has not even asked that question, his situation was so strong that under no circumstances he got disturbed. Once in the ashram it so happened that his younger brother who lived there for some time, he got involved with some problem with somebody and got involved with some problem with the police. Police came and took him away. After a few days of interrogation and all that, they left him, released him, and he came back. When he came back, when he was away, he came to know about this. The sage came to know about this, was in a realized state. He never asked one question about him. Even when he came back, he never inquired anything about it. Such was the state of consciousness of those people. So you can see from here that when we go to spiritual life, whole thing has to get a complete overhaul of our dealings in this world, isn't it? And this is why we are hesitating to switch to spiritual life. We don't want it. If you switch on to spiritual life, proper spiritual life, all these things will happen. And we don't want that. We want to continue our ignorant life and the ignorant world and the ignorant state. So that's why it says, but Krishna is saying here, Vishwam Egalmagam Pashyan. Egalmagam, the world creation is all made of one substance. Egalmagam means one substance. Prakritya Purushena Cha. And that has come, appears to us in the form of Purusha and Prakriti. This comes from Sankhyam. Purusha and Prakriti is Sankhya Yogam. In Vedantam, one step more further and says even Prakriti doesn't exist, only soul exists. Nothing else. Nothing else is existing. At that time, Prakriti Purusha will also go. If it is like that, Krishna is saying, whom will you ask, who are you and where you are coming from? Because everyone they are seeing is seeing them as Purna Vastu, complete in itself. Complete in itself. Because if you say like this, if you say, how will I become self-realized? Then the question comes, who is the person who is asking about self-realization? Isn't it? Somebody says, I am in distress or I have lot of problems. If you have to ask the question, who is the person who is saying he has got problems? Isn't it? So, when that question is asking, who is the person behind it, that question has a very lot of depth in there. Isn't it? It's a lot of depth. Because that is where you are only answering from inside. Otherwise, in this world, all the communication is happening between the mind, isn't it? Suppose two people meet with each other. They talk to each other. They're talking to each other. One person will keep on talking. The other person may not be listening to it. He will just stand there. And as soon as the other one stops, this one will start. So another one will start. And another one, he may have told all his problems in life, and this person will say all his problems after that. While the other person is speaking, this person is not interested in hearing about his problems. He is worrying about his own problems in this world. That is how all the conversations in this world goes on, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying, if somebody comes and says all the problems in this world, if you have learned this art of not allowing that person to create any chittavritti inside you, you have got solved the problem. You have solved the problems. In other words, that only if you recognize that person's problem, only when you accept that his existence and his separate existence from the original one, from Krishna. Only accept the separated existence from him. That's why this state of realization won't happen easily. It is for jnanis, for certain people who have gone that route. Vishwam egalmagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. That jnana yogam, which is discussed in the 28th chapter, is kept right in front of bhakti yogam. The next chapter is bhakti. If you look in Ekadasha skandham, you will see 28th chapter is jnanam, 29th is bhakti. 28 is bhakti. So this jnanam, what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasham, 28th, Parasvabhav, that whole chapter is centered around this message of the oneness of the soul. Parasvabhav karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada, Krishna says there. Krishna is saying, if by chance, if you start doing it, what? Parasvabhav karmani ya prashamsadi nindadi, that one, if ever somebody, if you look at the second verse in that chapter, you will see that. The first verse is saying, Parasvabhav karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi, he says first. You should not do that. Why? Vishwam egalmagam pashyan. Vishwam is made of one substance, soul. Prakritya purushena cha. And it appears to us in front of Prakriti and Purusha. But if you look into the next verse, the second verse, Krishna is saying there, Parasvabhav karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. One who is doing that, prashamsa or ninda, what will happen to him? He says there, sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He says the next thing what will happen is he has immediately will fall from his spiritual realized state. Bhramsha means that fall down. Bhramsha means fall down. Sa ashu, totally he will fall down. Brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Asatyam, Krishna says, asatyam means falsity. Abhiniveshada, you are got attached to that. You are got caught up in that asatyam, in the faultness. So you can see where it is coming from. Krishna is saying this, Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. In asatyam you have got abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means that your attachment has grown in the false world, in the false thing. So although all these things are spoken in the Bhagavadam, and I know it is not easy to reach that state. It is meant for those who have taken spiritual life very, very seriously. Very, very seriously. Ekadasham is discussed among the devotees who are in that state of realization and consciousness. But still, by reading Bhagavadam, you can at least recognize that Srimad Bhagavadam has a lot to offer as far as the realizations are concerned. At least at one day, if Krishna wants this to happen, it can happen to anyone. All this understanding can come. And only when this realization happens that you are freed from the material existence. Otherwise not. Otherwise it continues. All the other banging we do in this world will remain as banging only. It will only create a lot of noise and that will go with that. But realization will only come when that knowledge what Krishna has spoken has entered inside and it has become our own part, our own understanding, our own realization. Then we can say we have understood Srimad Bhagavatam, or we can say Bhagavatam is effective. Generally, in the self-realization process also, there are three states also, three ways it is realized, isn't it? Then Krishna talks about that. In different places you will see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is the Atma Sakshatkaram. That is a process that jnanis are following through their intense process of self-realization through cultivation of knowledge and willingly and forcefully and accepting what Krishna with the Shraddha, with the seriousness in the acceptance of the knowledge from Shastram and under the influence of the spiritual master, cultivating that knowledge and realizing it. They enter into the state what is known as Atma Sakshatkaram. They realize the soul in that way. Devotees realize that through surrender process, isn't it? That is Sharanagati, surrender. And that is called Ishvara Sakshatkaram. Krishna, realizing Krishna as the absolute truth, surrendering everything to Krishna. There is nothing else happens in this world without Krishna's sanction. Accepting that. And everything that is happening is only happening because of Krishna's approval. That is Sharanagati. Complete surrender to Krishna. That also is not a easy thing. Isn't it? That also not a easy thing. So you can see Atma Sakshatkaram is difficult. Ishvara Sakshatkaram is also difficult. Then there is another thing which devotees have spoken about. That is known as Kripa Sakshatkaram. Kripa Sakshatkaram means that in Atma Sakshatkaram and Ishvara Sakshatkaram, that means the endeavor is from our side to go towards Krishna. by the process of surrender or through the process of cultivation of knowledge. But this third thing, according to Krishna and according to the gopis, this is what they have done. That's what Sangam brings most of the cases, is that instead of having realized what we are worth in this world, our tiny existence and our incompetence to do anything in this world, eventually handing over everything to Krishna and leaving to Krishna, you can do whatever you like with me. At that point, the mercy from Krishna starts flowing from Krishna towards us. That is Kripa. That's called Kripa, Krishna's mercy. At that way, there is a Sakshatkaram, self-realization happens. At that point, there is no sadhana. Sadhana is all finished at that point. You have done sadhana for 30, 40 years. You have studied Shastram for 30, 40 years. You have performed a lot of austerities and penances in this life. Ultimately, nothing is working. Nothing is working. And you reach a state where you find that you are totally helpless. Totally helpless. And then Krishna's mercy comes. From Krishna's side, the mercy comes. That is known as Kripa Sakshatkaram. That is Krishna's mercy coming to us instead of from our endeavor, anything happening. No more importance to your effort anymore. No sadhana, no tapasya, no austerity, no penances, no shastram, nothing there. Simply dependent on Krishna's mercy. Simply dependent on Krishna's mercy. Nothing else. If Krishna gives the mercy, you can have it. If not, no. There is no negotiation there. There is no possibility of any negotiations. Whereas generally our understanding is, we think like this, that I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm sure Krishna will pay me back later for what I've done for him. Isn't it? That is one state. That's one state. But that state is not always as good as this state. This state is much more effective. But there also, even in all these three, the least trace of false ego has to go from inside. Only then Kripa will come. Only then Kripa will come. So, the thing here is that the what we are talking about is that Prakritya Purushena Cha. So, from this question, the second question he says, where is the question of Panjatmageshu Bhudeshu Samaneshu Javastuda Ko Bhavanidi Prasnam? Isn't it? Ko Bhavan? Who are you? This question has no meaning. Krishna is saying to the Kumaras, if you keep reflecting on this, what Krishna has spoken now, immediately you will become silent. You will see the foolishnesses of ourselves, our own foolishness. Because every time when we meet people, who are you, how are you, all these questions we ask, isn't it? And if you don't get an answer, we get disturbed over it. Oh, he didn't show, he didn't act properly, he didn't behave properly, he didn't care for me, he didn't. But if you follow Krishna now in this world, you'll be in trouble. That also will happen. Because the other person may not have read Bhagavatam. You have read Bhagavatam. And you are thinking in your own mind that if you cross somebody on the street whom you know, and you walk straight through without looking at him, seeing the oneness in the person, that person will think that you deliberately ignored him. Because that man is in that state. So you can't do anything about it. So for Vyavaharam, you have to do all these things. Vyavaharam, remember this one thing, that you should not do Vyavaharam with Krishna. You should do Vyavaharam in this world. To live in this world, you have to do all these temporary things. They are temporary things that you can do Vyavaharam. With Krishna, you have to take shelter, ashrayam. With Krishna, it is ashrayam, taking shelter. That is the only reason why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto is referred as ashrayam, isn't it? Why? Because after mukti, if there is something left, they say that's only ashrayam. 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 Atrasargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manundaram ishanukatha nirodho mukti ashrayaha. The 12th cantos refers to Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, Manyandaram, Ishanukatha, Nirodham, Mukti. Mukti is Egadashaskandam. Egadashaskandam is called Muktiskandam. So after Mukti, is there anything? Yes, there is something. What is that? Ashrayam. So ashrayam is the message. Ultimately, the 12th canto is telling us that eternally our business is only ashrayam. With Krishna, only ashrayam. No vyavaharam. Vyavaharam with material world. Ashrayam with Krishna. What most of the people do, they do vyavaharam with Krishna, ashrayam with the material world. Isn't it? That's what we all do. Our shelter is in the family, society, NHS or whatever in this world. All the different institutions or whatever we have got, that is our ashrayam at the moment. That's where our complete faith is. Faith is there, Shraddha is there, but not in Krishna. With Krishna, we are doing business all the time. Is he going to give it to me or not? That is with Krishna. So if we do this, what will happen is, Krishna is eternal. Material world is temporary. If you do business with an eternal thing, your business will become an eternal business. And your shelter will become vyavaharam, because you have taken your shelter in the vyavaharam in the transaction. You will remain in that transactional state all the time. You will not come out. So that is the main thing. That vyavaharam with the world, that we have to do transactions with this world, with Krishna ashrayam. So that is why this is the one point in the 12th canto you will see. After mukti it is spoken. Even after self-realization, is there anything then after that? Yes, there is something. What is that? Krishna shelter, ashrayam. Ever. That is finished. With that it's over. Completely in Krishna shelter. And when one falls from that shelter, when one does not take shelter, then one falls. Then one falls. So, here, once, two people, one sannyasi was traveling in a train. And there was someone sitting next to him. The same problem as I mentioned. Sannyasi, not naturally, he studied. He has realizations, everything. Other person, completely, just he has got a ticket, he's sitting there in the train. He wants to talk to somebody, so he found there's no one else, so his sannyasi is there. So when people have this attitude, there's a sannyasi, let's have a chat with him, see what he has got to say. So in this mood, the interview starts. So he's asking him, where are you? Who are you? Where are you coming from? You know, the normal conversation in the train between two passengers. So when he asked this question, sannyasi asked, sannyasi asked his, replied him back, saying that, whom do you think by seeing me? What do you think? Who I am? He said, he answered that. So he says, the other person says, I couldn't understand who you are, that's why I'm asking. So he says, sannyasi says, if after seeing me, if you are not understood, how are you going to understand if I tell you something? He says. So like this, the conversation went on. In other words, sannyasam and self-realization has very close connection. So in the realized state, as a sannyasi, when we are talking to him, if we bring all our mundane questions to him, it has no meaning for him to answer. So, so he says here, that constantly we have to give attention to that vastu. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. Bhagavadam says that the vastu inside, if you keep on giving it attention, you will notice that there is no duality in this world. There is no second thing existing. And this word, this question also, who are you and where are you coming from? All these questions have no meaning at all. No meaning at all. Saying this, Krishna is instructing the Hamsopadesham to the Kumaras. The Hamsopadesham means what? What is the question they have asked? If you are situated in the state of meditation, or if you are situated in the situation of yoga state, therefore there is no problem at that state, because you are in a realization is naturally there. You are meditating on these things. But as soon as you wake up from that state, and once the mind starts operating through the senses, start interacting with the world, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, the three modes of nature will immediately enter. How to handle this? This is the question, isn't it? Suppose you are chanting the holy name, and say you are chanting. Chanting is supposed to be transcendental, isn't it? Proper chanting is supposed to be transcendental. So when the Kumaras ask this question, they are coming from a spiritual plane asking this question. That in the realized state, when they are engaged in, the question is important, you have to understand the question well. They are asking the question that when we are engaged in anushtanam, or in, you can't call it sadhana. Sadhana is all for the beginners. It's for the beginners. For them, we call it as anushtanam. Anushtanam means they have certain practices they follow on a regular basis, and they do that on a to keep that in that state. They engage in that. That is anushtanam. So jnananishtha is their state in meditation, dhyanam, or japam, whatever it is they perform. So when they are in that state, they are purely in the realized state. They are purely in the realized state. There is no possibility of modes of nature entering there. Modes of nature entering there. Even while they are chanting, even while they are in meditation, or if they are engaged in the worship, deity worship, or whatever they do, there is no entrance for the modes of nature there because of their advanced state. But they are full of knowledge, isn't it? But what they are asking the question is, when you leave that and come, and then the mind starts operating and it starts dealing with the world, automatically through the senses it has found the exit route to go to the senses. So how to handle this situation? This is the question. The answer to that is what Krishna gives in the 24th verse there. Manasa vajasa drishtya grihyade anyer apindriyaihi aham evanamatonyal idi buddhyadvan anjasaha. Manasa vajasa drishtya grihyade anyer apindriyaihi aham evanamatonyal idi buddhyadvan anjasaha. Krishna says, whatever is perceived by the mind and senses is nothing but a manifestation of me. This should be understood by an unbiased examination of the truth. Manasa vajasa drishtya grihyade anyer apindriyaihi. That by the mind or the words or the senses, whatever what you are perceiving here, you have to see that as manifestation of Krishna. And this should be understood, aham evana mato anyal idi buddhyadhu manjasa. This should be, in the commentary says, Lord here explains that since everything is the expansion of His potency, He is not different from anything. Nothing can exist separately from Krishna, and thus everything shares in the Lord's nature. Everything is Krishna's nature. So you can see that this is difficult. When we say to others that you have to see everything as Krishna, isn't it? That's what we are talking about. To see everything in relationship with Krishna. The answer will be, how can I do that? How can I do everything, see everything as Krishna? I try hard to see everything as Krishna, but it doesn't look, they don't look like Krishna, they look like so-and-so, whoever that is. So, how do we do that? That's the question. So, Krishna's first thing is that understand that everything has come from me. Understand that everything has come from me. But if you study Srimad Bhagavatam later, you will see there, prior to that happens, there is another state, realizing of oneself what I am. Only after that, this realization can happen about the somebody else, what their state is. So self-realization, only after that happens, after I have understood my spiritual identity, after that only, the realization of others as spiritual objects will happen. So here, he says here, this is difficult words also. He says here, see, we have got this thing called Chit Shakti inside, isn't it? Chit Shakti inside. Satya Chitta Anandam, isn't it? That's the soul. So soul has got these three functions. Sat potency, Chit potency and the Anandam potency. Eternal, blissful and knowledge. So, knowledge potency is called the Chit potency, whom we identify as Srimati Radharani. So that potency, he says here, is from where this understanding comes, my existence comes from that, isn't it? Awareness of my existence is coming from Chit potency. Remember, we discussed this before, that these three potencies is present in us. In the material world also, it is following us all the time. Our existence, we are aware of this because of the chit potency of the soul. Because of the sat potency of the soul, we feel that we are eternal. We all feel we are eternal. Even when, as I mentioned before, you cut the body off, you still think, I am existing. That doesn't reduce according to the proportion of the body, isn't it? If you cut the two hands and two legs off, I am existing still. You may say, I lost my leg, I lost my hands, but my existence, I am existence, is always there. That is coming from the chit potency. And I'm always existing, this realization is coming from the sat potency. And always I find happiness and sukham in this world is coming from different objects. And you experience that somewhere, and that is the anandam potency of the soul coming through the false ego and through the senses to the world. That's where you are experiencing this happiness in this world. Because it has come through false ego to the senses, that experience is always in a false level, like the false ego. It's all based on the body and based on the intelligence and based on the senses, because it comes through the false ego. It's a very difficult thing. All these things are the background behind this Krishna's answer. So, because it is situated in that chit potency, while situated in that chit potency, we are looking through the eye, through the nose, through the tongue, through the skin, and through the ears. Because the chit potency is there, all our senses are able to experience things in this world. If the chit shakti is not there, indriyam business will not work. Indriyam or cell, the senses cannot function in this world if the chit potency is not there. Only due to the presence of chit potency that we can conduct this business. So Krishna is saying here, little by little realize this, he says, whatever you are accepting through the senses, whatever you are receiving through the senses, whatever you are receiving through the senses, and whatever your mind is imagining, all this is happening because of the chit potency at the back. If the chit potency is not there, you couldn't do any of these things. You cannot do any of these things. This is the spiritual law. The spiritual understanding is like that. That the Satya, Chitta, Anandam, they have its own effect on us in our daily life, in our functioning of the body as well. So, if you accept that everything is coming from what is coming through the senses, and whatever the mind is imagining, then that is all coming from the soul. Krishna says, accept it in that way first. It's coming from the soul. If you accept it that way, then, as I mentioned before, those objects are existing only because the chit potency is identifying it, isn't it? If the chit potency wasn't there, those objects doesn't exist for you. It doesn't exist. So everything that is going through the senses, through the mind, which is coming from the world outside, if it comes inwards, Krishna says, immediately take it for granted that existence of them is only due to the presence of the soul or the chit potency of the soul inside. It is happening in the chit, not in the world outside. What is happening in the mind is happening in the chit. Actually, it is happening in the chit. And then it comes to the mind later. Because based on the raga-dvesham with the object, the mind creates different sangalpam inside, isn't it? But the existence of the object or existence of a person, it's not registered in the mind straight away. Raga dvesham is registered there. The existence is registered in the chit. You see? The registration of the existence of a person is not happening in the mind. It's happening in the chit potency. Is that difference is clear, yeah? That the when we see a person, what is registering inside the mind? The ragam and dvesham is registering inside. I like that man, I don't like him. Or I hate him, I love him. All these kind of things. This is raga dvesham. That is what gets registered in the mind. The fact that his existence as what he exists or not is registered in the chit. Is registered. That registration is happening in the chit, not in the mind. That's an important point. So therefore, Krishna says, don't give importance to the ragadvesham aspect of anybody. Give the importance of that registration. Then you will know everything is happening in the soul, not in the mind. Everything is happening in the soul, not in the mind. All these things has to be practiced in spiritual life in order to realize that. If we don't do anything, or at least try to understand all these things, what Krishna is saying, if we don't take any of these things seriously, how we will make any understanding of spiritual life? Spiritual life is not all what we, all the thing what we do in this world externally. People have this misunderstanding, whole life I'll be doing all kinds of karma and I'll go back home, back to spiritual world. But that that is Kripa Shakti. If Kripa comes like that, that's fine. If Krishna pulls you out. But it is important that in spiritual life, that Krishna has spoken these things to the Kumaras to tell them that there is no second person. In other words, that registration has happened in the chit. Another person's existence registration has happened in the chit. So chit is registering everything and everything is coming from the soul. Soul is actually responsible for that, of the registration of a person or other object existence. So Krishna's point is, if you attribute everything to the soul, eventually you will see the presence of the soul in everything. That's what he says there. Manaso vacham. Manaso vajasa drishtya grihyade anyer apendriyehi. You see that? Aham evanamato anyal idi buddhyadvam anjasa. He says, what is perceived by the mind senses is nothing but a manifestation of me. When he says me, it means that soul, andaryami inside, Krishna's presence inside. If you keep looking at all these things from a bodily level, you won't make any sense. None of them will make any sense to you if you start thinking from a bodily platform. Isn't it? Because if you start identifying body you are seeing, if you say to somebody that it is Krishna who is present in everyone, you say to him from a bodily level, you start thinking Krishna is standing there and he is standing there. How can you say that Krishna is present in him? So bodily level you can't understand any of these things. It all has to be based on the spiritual plane. It's a peculiar plane, Ekadasya Skandam is spoken. So only in that plane you can accept all what Krishna is saying here. So there's a statement about this, that through all the five senses, thieves are entering inside us, through all the five senses. So at that time, we have to ask this question, that Krishna is inside there, watching us, isn't it? As a super soul, he is witnessing our activities. But just like in a house, thieves will enter when the householder is not there, isn't it? Often you hear this story, you may have heard this and read in the paper also. Everybody was busy watching the serial on the television. So at that time, the thief gets into the house and he does, because he knows that everyone is very focused on the serial, what's going on in the TV. So the whole family is sitting together and watching the serial. That's a good time for thieves to get in. So similarly, that means if the householder is not attentive, is not careful, is not giving attention, then this will happen. This thing will happen. But householder generally will know that that's a possibility, so he'll be always alert. He won't give full attention to the watching the serial where all the family members will be very busy. So similarly, when all these senses are bringing so much garbage from the world outside, said we have to recognize that we have to say to Krishna, who is inside as the super soul, that it's all coming inwards towards the center, that we have to recognize that except Krishna there is nothing inside. It is Krishna who is accepting all this registration of all the different objects. So actually to say, I am seeing so many things, I am smelling so many things, I am eating so many things, and I'm tasting so many things, I'm hearing so many things, these are all false. That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying they are all false. They are all actually things happening outside, not in you. not in you. Happening outside means, as far as Krishna is concerned, your mind is an outside entity. It's not an entity as you. He doesn't consider mind as you. Whereas many people in this world consider mind as the most important thing, isn't it? We all say that to my mind, I this, I that, and all kinds of things we say. So here, from the spiritual platform, Krishna's point is this, that all these things are not existing. Whatever he has spoken, manaso, vajasa, drishtya, three things. Mind is creating all the sankalpam inside, imagination, various imaginations. Vachasa, drishtya, grihyade anyer apindriyaihi. Anyer apindriyaihi is nothing but a manifestation of me, Krishna is saying that. Somehow or the other, if we can connect everything in the material world with Krishna somehow, then you can dissolve them in Krishna. You can dissolve everything in Krishna, and then Krishna says, you will realize the spiritual nature. Otherwise not. Whereas right now, we have separated Krishna from everything and gave all the importance to matter. Isn't it? Matter is the most important thing for us. And we are very particular about the specifications and the of the material objects in this world, matter in this world. Krishna's point is, do not give importance to matter. Get the matter dissolved in Krishna, in the soul. And that way to do that, Krishna says here, that manaso vajaso drishtyam grihyade anyer apindriyaihi. That all that what you are perceiving is existing for you only when it is, if it creates any emotions inside. Otherwise they don't exist for you. Because they won't cause any impact on you, isn't it? Say something you have seen, a mountain or a tall tree or something like that. Now, as soon as you see the tree, immediately the height of the tree has created an impression in you. And that will remain for some time, isn't it? You can always say to somebody, I see the tree, it's a very tall tree. You will mention like that. So every object in this world, if you look, you will see there, it creates some form of impression inside. You can call it as vasana. Vasana has got a little deeper meaning than that. But some impression is created inside us by every object in this world. Krishna's point is, whatever object is creating any impression inside, through the mind, through the senses, try to link that with the soul. How to link that with the soul? Let that not, so long as it doesn't create any impression, you have escaped from that. Or in other words, suppose somebody is talking to you, you can keep on hearing that without creating any chittavritti inside, then it won't disturb you. But that's a very difficult thing. That's very difficult. Somebody is telling you a lot of distress what he has got, or a lot of happiness what he got. You have to react in this world, isn't it? That's the etiquette here. Either you have to congratulate him, or tell him how great you have done and how wonderful you have done, or you have to show your compassion or sympathy for him, for his sorry state of affairs, or you have to be rude to him for something what he has done wrong. Some kind of interaction will happen inside us. Krishna is saying here that if anything you can connection, anything in this world what's happening, if you can link with the Chit Shakti and make sure that it does not, it is all a part of the soul rather than an influence the mind, you have escaped from the problem. You have escaped from the problem. That's what he's saying here. Manaso vajaso vaja chakshubhyam. Earlier also he said the same thing. Manaso yadido manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadubi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. Earlier in the Ekadasham, if you remember in the 7th chapter, Krishna spoke about that. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadubi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. They are all part of maya, part of the mind. Maya, mind, all this Krishna keeps away from the soul. So when we study the soul, which is Krishna is discussing here, so Krishna says here that through the powerful Maya, actually Krishna is saying, people tell you so many things. Krishna says here, I heard something. He says, it's all cheating. It's all cheating. You have not heard anything, Krishna says. You say you have tasted something. Krishna says you have not tasted anything. You have smelled something. Krishna says you have not smelled anything. He says you have touched something. Krishna says you have not touched anything. Because actually Krishna is speaking from the spiritual plane, not from the bodily plane. So bodily understanding and bodily designations and bodily etiquettes, they are different. Spiritual understanding, spiritual etiquette and spiritual transactions, they are all on a different plane altogether. They are all on a different plane altogether. In order to move on to that plane, we have to minimize these activities on this plane, on the material plane. We will not do that because we are frightened. If we stop our material activities, what will happen? So therefore our spiritual life is also going on like this, the way it is at the moment. So actually Krishna is saying here, one object is coming through the eyes in one form. Coming through the one form. And the same object is coming in the form of sound through the ears. And all these things is one and the same thing. As far as Krishna is concerned, it is one and the same thing. Difficult things to grasp, isn't it? When Krishna says that, he says same object, it comes through the in the particular form it appears to you in the eyes. And that person again comes to you in the form of sound through your ears. It's the same person. But he gave you a form, presented in front of you in his form, and you see that form and identify with that form, which is a mistake, Krishna says. Then when he speaks, you recognize his sound and start accepting him through the sound. Sometimes you do that, isn't it? Say for example, you are used to some particular favorite singer who sings kirtan nicely. As soon as you hear, even if you don't see him, as soon as you hear, you say, this is such and such a musician who is singing, or such and such a devotee is singing. You will say that. He is singing the kirtan. You will say in a natural way. Immediately, what is in your mind when you are saying that? You are identifying with that person through the sound. Isn't it? As much as you identify through the eyes, you identify a person through ears also. Similarly, if you touch a person, immediately Krishna says that's also false. One body is touching another body. Soul doesn't touch any soul. Says soul is only that's existing in everyone's the same. So all these, why Krishna is saying all this thing is to prove to us the meaninglessness of the sensory transactions. What you are transacting through the senses, they are all meaningless. Except we give so much importance to that, isn't it? But when you come to the spiritual platform, all the transactions through the sensual perception, ears, eyes, nose, taste, touch, the five senses, this is all, business is all done through this, isn't it? All that is false. All that is false. That is Krishna's point. So Krishna says, once you separate them out and leave them behind, that's why spiritually advanced jnanis, they do not give importance to any of these things. They have no important value to it anymore. Their senses are acting. Krishna said that before also, isn't it? So there's only one object. Example given is like this. You have climbed a staircase and you reach the top. So many steps you have climbed and you reach the top. After reaching the top, you looked back and you found that all the steps were made of the same substance as the place where you have landed. There was no difference. This was made of the brick, mortar, and the stones and sand, everything. When you got to the top also, you found that's also made of the same thing. What was the difference? Difference was, this was created in the form of steps, and there it was created in a platform-like thing. That's the only difference. But otherwise, the material that is made of is the same thing. It's the same thing. So, then in that case, if you see what material it is made of, you can see panjalpageshu bhudeshu samanishuja vastuda. That's the point Krishna is making. That everything is made of five material elements. So why one should give importance to one body over the other body? That is the question. So if you do that, Krishna says that what will happen is that you will see that what you are seeing is not important. The person who is seeing is more important. Isn't it? Throughout our life in this world, we are practiced in this way. What is that? What we see is important. Isn't it? We give importance to what we see. Krishna's point is, don't give importance to what you see. See who is seeing, the person who is seeing. Because all these, what you have seen and the process of seeing, where is it happening? It is happening in the person who is seeing it. Is it not? The person who is seeing, he is the one who is experiencing it, what he has seen. So the impact of seeing is actually happening in the person who is seeing. And this process of seeing also is happening in the person who is seeing. Krishna says, out of the three things, the person who is seeing is more important. Not what you have seen, nor the process of seeing. You ask anybody, they will always tell you, I have seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it, he will say. Is he not? He will say, I have seen myself. It is based on this that all the police and detectives and all take evidence from you. Because have you seen it? You say, yes, you have seen it. Then you are a witness for the court case. Because you have seen it. But who has seen it? That they don't ask. You have seen it, they say. And you also say, you have seen it. Krishna is saying, what you have seen is not the important. For police, what you have seen is important. For police, what you have seen is important. For Krishna, the person who is seeing is important. Because what you have seen is only valid as far as the court case is concerned. After that, it's finished. It has no more benefit. But Krishna's point is, if you have understood who is seeing it, who is the person actually seeing it, if you have understood that, then you can come to the platform of the soul. You can come to the platform of the soul. Now, here, so when we keep on analyzing like this, you will see that the material world is a false thing. It's a temporary thing, and it's a false thing as well. There's no reality to it. And including the material body is a product of Maya. Including the material body is a product of Maya. So that is why it is says there, in the verses you will see there, that this, while negating this material body, we say, Manobuddhi hangara chittani naham, naja shrotra jikve, naja ghrana netre, naja vyoma bhumir, na tejo, na vayu. None of this is I am. I am not mind. Manam manase. I am not mind. I am not the intelligence. I am not the false ego. I am not the chittam. Manobuddhi hangara chitta ni na aham. Then, naja shrotra jihve naja ghrana netre. Shrotra means the ears, nor the tongue, nor the nose, nor the eyes. Naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu. I am none of the five material elements either. None of them I am, none of these things. Then what is my nature? Chidananda rupam. I am always Satya Chit and Anandam. That is my pure identity as the soul. So this is how initially we have to break away from the identity, from this identity. Because these are generally the identity attributed to the body, isn't it? Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam, and then Shrotram, Jihva, Ghrana, Netram, Vyomam, Bhumi, Tejas, Vayu. None of those things. Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham. So, but here, what will happen is that if you deny these things, that you are not any of these things, if you deny any of these things, you deny them, their existence, then they will remain there. They will remain there. So, ultimately, Krishna is saying here that whatever you have denied, their existence, ultimately they are also the same thing. So, initially you have to deny them to separate the existence of the soul. You have to deny the existence of all these things in us. Afterwards, then suppose you say you are none of these things. What does that mean? It means all those things will stay outside, isn't it? You are none of that. You are separated yourself from that. Then what is left? I am existing and the world is existing. World is existing. And all these identification with the different elements will go as a part of the world. As a part of the world. Then the world exists, I am existing. Isn't it? So, if you keep that consciousness, eventually you will see, then from the chit potency, the mind pops up. The mind pops up. So, then what is that mind? Mind is nothing but mind comes out from the chit. Chit potency is where the mind is waking up. Mind wakes up from there. So, that is where we will see eventually that even these things are absorbed, that mind dissolves there in the chit potency. When the mind is dissolved, all the senses also naturally gets dissolved in that. When we say senses, where is the presence of the senses in the body? They are present in the mind. They are present in the mind. So senses are not something, because if you ask somebody asks you to show you the presence of the senses in the body, it's very difficult. There is no instrument by which you can show the senses somewhere. But how do we know that the senses are in the mind? Because suppose you have no mind, simply by the eyes you can't see anything. You can't see anything. So in other words, the eyes are present of the eye, the senses eye is in the mind. Similarly, if there is no mind activated, there is no possibility of experiencing anything in this world. So therefore, the understanding is like this, that the presence of the senses is in the mind. And the mind has come from the chit potency. If you remember, you have to think back all the time what Krishna has spoken before. Sa esha jivo vivare prasuti. If you remember, Krishna spoke that before. That how jiva came about. When jiva came about, he had this satta chitta anandam with him. From that chit potency came all these things. Mind, false ego, intelligence and senses, everything. They all came out and they all went back to the same chit potency. False ego also goes there. With that, jiva state is also gone, finished with that. The state of jiva is also over. So, it says like this, that, so, there is a beautiful verse about that. It says that, manastvam vyomatvam marudasi marud sarathirasi tvam astvam bhumi tvai parinatayam nahi param. Tum esha swatmanam parinamaidam vishyavapusha chidanandagaram shiva yuvadi bhavena bhavena vibrushayam. Manastvam vyomatvam. That mind is a very difficult thing to understand. What it says here, that chit potency inside, which is very, very stable. Chit potency is very stable. And in that chit potency, an unusual power develops from that. Unusual power develops from that. What is that power? It has got this Sankalpa Shakti. Sankalpa Shakti means the capability to imagine things. For imagination. That power to imagine, it's called Sankalpa Shakti. So from chit potency, this unusual or extraordinary nature of this potency comes out from the chit potency. And that is called the mind. That's called the mind. We have learned that first we have to control the mind. We hear that, isn't it? And in the form of lust and in the form of anger, all these things we talk about that. Then, but once we have mind has gone back to the chit potency again, then we will realize that this mind is something completely different in nature. These are all in the realized states, these things are spoken about it. That's why when Krishna says these things, we have to give a lot of things you have to imagine in your mind, in the sense that when the mind came from the chit potency, when the mind goes back to the chit potency, what normally happens is, Krishna says here, that you will start seeing the mind in a different way. In a different way. Up to now, how do you identify the mind at the moment? Because of the various thoughts that's coming through the mind, isn't it? Chitavritti is mind. There is no specific place where you can locate the mind, can you? Some people say it's here, some people say it's here, some people say it's here. Wherever it is, it doesn't matter, because it's not anywhere there. Nowhere. Nowhere we know to identify the mind, where it originally belongs to, but it's there. Everybody accepts that it exists. That has come from the chit potency. Now, this mind, after this realization, mind goes back to the chit potency. At that time, we will see things in a different plane altogether, because it's not like the mind anymore, what we are used to. How is that? If in the ocean, When you go and look at the ocean, you will see so many different things, isn't it? You see the waves in the ocean, the foam that is, and then the bubbles that is created. All these things are existing in the ocean. So when you see the ocean, you see their different existence. But eventually you know very well, it's all nothing but water. From water, all these different forms it has taken. Similarly, mind also is something that has popped out from inside in the same way. So, water can be in different forms. It can be in the form of steam, it can be in the form of ice, it can be in the form of water. But once you start seeing only water in all these different states, Sarilo ego drashta advaido bhavadi. That's where you realize that the oneness of that water in all existing in different forms will be learned at that point. Realized at that point. So, in which chit all these things have happened? The mind has come about, and that chit itself is staying there in the form of mind. It is the chit that has transformed in the form of mind, and we are doing business with this world. Only thing, we are not aware of these things after the mind. Up to the mind, we all accept it. Everybody accepts the presence of the mind. Scientists also accept that. But if you ask them where the mind has come from, there is no answer. Now they are saying they have created a synthetic life or something, isn't it? You saw in the paper. I don't know what that life is, synthetic life. It's like a plastic bag, I suppose, something that I come about with. But similarly, they don't know that after that, the mind, where the mind came from, there is no answer. They accept the presence of the mind. The science also accepts the presence of the mind. You can understand that the material body of material elements does exist. But where is the mind coming from? This is where spiritual knowledge is important. The sages who knew the truth, they had much more deeper understanding of these things. They have given us this understanding that Satta, Chitta, Anandam, the three potencies of the soul, from the Chit potency, the mind has come. And only if you understand this, it is in that Chit potency, all this lust, anger, greed, envy, hate, and anger, all these things happening inside that Chit potency of the soul. Inside the Chit potency of the soul. We say it's happening in the mind, isn't it? And mind has come from the Chit potency. So, if you heard about this, Lalita Sahasranamam, or the Thousand Names of Sri Lalita, Lalita Devi, there is a state mentioned there that Chidagni Kundasambhuda, that is Chidagni Kundasambhuda, and that in that Chit Shakti, which is Lalita Devi is referred to as Sri Parvati in some instance, which is considered as Prakriti, material nature in the Bhagavad Gita, referring in different names at different places, it's one and the same substance. That Chit Shakti, when it recognizes the objects outside, it becomes Jata Shakti. See, everything in this world, as far as Krishna is concerned, it's all spirit. Even this table is spirit. If you say this to someone, they'll say, what is it? This is wood, they will say, isn't it? They'll say, this is wood. The wall is made of brick and mortar, everything. That is our understanding. But Chit Shakti is saying to us, from Chit Shakti, that energy that is flowing out and giving identity to every object, when it comes out, this as Jata Shakti. Jada means dead matter. This Jada Shakti has also come from Chit Shakti. This has no separate existence. It became Jadam because Chit Shakti is not active in this. Therefore, it is Jadam. Not that it is separate from us. It's not separate from us. It is a part of the Chit Shakti. Krishna's Chit Shakti. Therefore, it says here, Jada Shakti, Jadalmiya, Chit Shakti, Chedana Rupa. In Lalita Sahasranamam, when Sri Parvati is offered flowers, glorifying her, the mantra that is chanted, one of the thousand names of Sri Parvati, is like this. This is not our composition. This is composition from the sages who have realized Sri Parvati's nature, who have realized material nature. They have realized material nature also. They have understood material nature has come about like this. In other words, in their creation, only soul exists. Soul is transforming in different ways according to the Chit Shakti's nature. That's why I say, Jada Shakti Jadalmiga, Chit Shakti's Chetana Rupa. Chit Shakti is existing and present in front of us in Chetana Rupam. Chetana means living force. It's present in front of us. But Jada Shakti Jadalmiga, this Jada Shakti or Jadam or dead matter, all these are dead matter, isn't it? Mike is dead, this is dead matter. This bag or the carpet, everything is dead matter. They didn't exist on their own. Who gave the reality of their existence? It has come from Chit Shakti. So Chit Shakti is more important than Jada Shakti. Whole material science is centered around Jada Shakti. All spiritual science is centered around Chit Shakti. That is the difference. So Jada Shakti or Jada Vidya, from the Shastram, from the sages' point of view, is nothing but ignorance. Nothing but ignorance. You can keep on studying Jada Shakti, you won't get anywhere at the end. That's the point Krishna is saying here. That so, when that Chit Shakti starts flowing from inside, first it comes in the form of mind, and then it starts coming in the form of different emotions. This is all coming from that Chit Shakti inside. Different emotions start registering different objects, and when the Chit Shakti has started flowing properly, in other words, once we have understood Chit Shakti and we have realized the Chit Shakti starts flowing in a different way in a jnani. When we say jnani sees the world in a completely different way, this is what it means. That means his Chit Shakti is flowing in a different way than the way Chit Shakti is flowing through us. Today, Chit Shakti is flowing through us through our false ego, through the senses to the world outside, to the world outside. And we perceive everything through the senses, accepting as that reality, and we form certain impressions inside our mind. No consideration at all about the Chit Shakti. Is it not? No consideration at all with the Chit Shakti. Krishna is saying there, if you have followed this process, what Krishna spoke in that last verse, Manaso, what was that verse? Yeah, it says there, isn't it? 24 words. Manaso vajasa drishtyam grihyade anyer apindriyaihi aham evana mato anyal idi buddhyadvaman jasaham. This should be understood by an unbiased examination of the truth. That's all Krishna has said. That's all Krishna had to say. It's up to us, left to us to think about it. In other words, Krishna expects us to reflect on these things in depth. Otherwise, how we will understand? How we will understand? We will read it. Krishna is saying unbiased examination of the truth. That means truth is something different than this, isn't it? That's what Krishna is saying. Manaso vajaso drishtya grihyade anyer apindriyehi. Whatever is perceived by the mind and senses is nothing but a manifestation of me. Me means the soul inside. And this should be understood by an unbiased examination of the truth. What we have done today is this unbiased examination of the truth. That's what we are doing till now. Whatever all this explanation is for that. Krishna only said like that, unbiased examination of the truth. He has left it like that. Why? Because he knows Uddhava will understand what he is saying. But for us, we have to deeply analyze these verses. Deeply go through that. Krishna is saying that the Chit Shakti inside, that is where the mind is origin. The origin of the mind is from the Chit Shakti. And it is that mind that is creating this whole creation for us, the world. And when that Chit Shakti is flowing through the false ego and through the senses it goes out, it brings attachment, aversion, all kinds of impressions from the objects in this world. As soon as it comes in, it goes to the mind. It goes to the mind. We create ragadvesham inside towards a particular object in one way or the other. Krishna's point is, try to understand where this mind has come from, first instance. The mind itself is not a permanent thing. That has also got an origin, and that is from the soul. And where? From the soul's chit shakti. It has come from the chit shakti, chit potency it is called. So that chit potency has manifested in the form of mind, and that mind has created the rest of the world, and we have identified with them through the false ego. And that is why, because we have no realization of the chit shakti, how we go back to that chit shakti. That's what Krishna says here, that any who have realized it, his chit shakti will not be flowing through false ego, because there is no false ego anymore. That chit shakti will flow in such a way that he is conscious of everything. He is always aware who is seeing, not what he is seeing. What he is seeing has no value. You will see millions of things in this world. What value has it got? It only exists because you are seeing that. Otherwise it has no value, isn't it? So that is the that's what he is saying here. That Jnani will see with this new vision, and first thing, what he has denied, now he is recognizing everything. He recognizes everything what he has denied before. Then that's what you are saying, isn't it? That kamam, krodham, anger, greed, all these things, where did this come from? This is the question, isn't it? What is that verse? About Sri Parvati, remember? There is this famous prayers about her, which says that, Sri Parvati is referred to this chit potency. Material nature has come from that, isn't it? It's only due to that potency, inside chit potency, we experience this material nature. If the chit potency is not there, material nature doesn't exist for us. And we won't be complaining about the material world so much then. Just we always do, isn't it? Material world is not correct. What you are saying is Sri Parvati is not right, what she is doing. So, Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Nidra Rubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. That paying respect to that Sri Parvati like this. Ya Devi, who, material nature, referring to Sri Parvati, saying that Sarva Bhudeshu, in every living entity, Nidra Rubena Samstida, when she says to us, we sleep, you have to sleep. You have no choice there, isn't it? She makes the decision for us. When she makes that decision, so where is it happening? It's happening inside us. Who is doing that? She is doing that in us. We are thinking that we are controlling that, but actually she is controlling us. It's the other way it's happening. Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu, in all living entities, Krishna's this potency, chit potency, is operating in this way. Nidra Rubena Samstida, Nidra Rubena, in the form of sleep, she is present in us all the time. When she says, down, you're down there, finished, can't get up anymore, you have to sleep. No matter what you decide, doesn't matter. If she says to you, sleep, you have to sleep. Like you say to the dog, isn't it, lie down, the dog lies down. Similarly, when Sri Parvati tells us, lie down, you have to lie down, like the dog, you have no choice there. That 1 or 2 minutes you can go on doing this way, that way, but after that, lie down, that's it. Similarly, everything else, kamam, lust, develops inside. When she creates that inside, it develops inside. It develops inside. Similarly, krodham. Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Krodharubena Samstida. She is present in us in the form of krodham, anger. Namastase, 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 namo namah. That always obeisances to her, who is present in me in that form. Like that, everything else, all the emotions, what you are going through in this life, and what's happening inside us in our mind is nothing but a part of her. It's nothing but a part of her. So that is the most important point that Krishna is saying here. Ultimately, Kama Rubini, she is in the form of Kamam. Krodha Rubini, in the form of anger. Labdha Ahankara Durgamam, everything in the false ego is also her. Soul doesn't have any false ego. This false ego we captured due to our contamination with the matter, with the material nature. When she releases us from the false ego, you are released from the material nature. Then there is no more birth, death, old age, disease and all that. So long as we are under her grip, we are tightly under her grip, And that's why it says here that Labdha Ahankara Durgamam. Everything is her. Even false ego is her. It is her, that potency of false ego that is present in us, which forces to identify with the false ego. So all these things, these are called chalanam, the movement inside, what is happening inside us. All these movements, all the chittavrittis, all those things, where is this happening? It is happening in the chit potency, in the soul. Isn't it? It's all happening inside the soul. Only because of the presence of the soul, all these things are happening and it is experienced by us. Otherwise, we don't experience them. We won't even, they don't exist for us. We keep saying, he did this, he did that and all. But you have allowed that to enter inside, and therefore Krishna is saying there that those who want to realize the truth, they have to one by one say goodbye to all these things. Not allow them to get in. Not allow them to get in. And similarly, Atmanam Bodeha Tarangaha Andarangi. That the mind is this comparison they give to the ocean. From the ocean, waves are coming. Similarly, the mind is also a wave that is coming out from the chit potency. From the chit potency. So, that chit potency is steady. It is stable. It doesn't have any waves there. But when the waves develop, it comes in the form of mind. And that chit potency is present in the form of mind. What happens when the mind wakes up? When the mind wakes up, immediately two things happen. What is that? Time and space. It's only due to presence of the mind we give importance to time and space. Isn't it? And only because time and space is there in this world, we have all these material transactions have started. Past, present, future. Three ways we identify with the time for our transactions in this world. That is one thing. Secondly, we also know space-wise. The space-wise, we identify with one place to another. One place is called London, this is called Watford or Luton or whatever it is. So different names we have to identify with. But from the absolute platform, when Krishna starts looking at it, he is saying there is no London, no Watford, no Luton. All this is in your mind as far as Krishna is concerned, because time and space has come from the mind. So spiritual life basically means going towards a subtle side of the life. On the gross level, we need all these things, all these identities. We need all that. In the subtle level, when we go towards the soul and we trying to understand or we try to realize that all the so-called creation, manifestation of the material objects, material world, everything is nothing but only due to the presence of the soul inside. Otherwise, all these things have no existence at all. They have no existence at all. So, when it wakes up in the mind, time and space, we start identifying, I am lying down here, I am living in this place, in this time I will come and this time. And all these rules and regulations will apply to us. And along with that, Vyomam Vayu Agni. That when the mind expands further, all these other things, other objects in the world, and therefore it says there, from the mind comes the sky. The sky has come from the mind. That, and then you know in Bhagavadam the creation process, if you remember, that the five material elements and the five tanmatras. You have got shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. That means the sound, touch, smell, form, taste, all that five things. They are called tanmatras. Then we have got earth, water, air, ether and fire. Now these five tanmatras are the five qualities of the five gross material elements. You can see in the process of creation how from the mind the sky has come. If you look in the third canto, you will see Bhagavatam's process of creation. From the sky came the, from the mind came the sky, and from the sky that touch has come, and then air has come. Touch is the tanmatra, and touch has come, the sense of touch has come from the mind, and then the air, its gross form has come. And from that gross form, then subsequently you know how the fire and then the water and the earth and eventually smell is the smelling is the quality of the earth. And from smelling is a sushma rupam or the subtle form of the earth, and earth is the gross form of the that subtle form. The subtle form is the smell and gross form is the earth, isn't it? Gross form is the earth. You know that in the third canto all these things are there. So you will see how this connection has come. Where did this all come from? It came from the mind. And where did the mind come up? It came from the chit potency, from the chit. And where is the chit came from? Came from the soul. So soul is the origin. From that, this is Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vedic philosophy's creation is like that. Creation is in this way, not the other way. Not the other way. The scientist creation is the opposite way. Our Vedic philosophy is saying, Vedas are telling us that creation developed and it manifested in different forms from the soul. All these things have happened. So, so even after realizing the truth, the mind and through the senses, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, and all these things may be existing, but you will not see them in that form anymore. You will not see them in that form anymore. Why? By now, because you have gone back to the fundamentals or the very basics, which is the soul, you can only see that all these things come from the soul. You can't see their, recognize their separated existence anymore. It is at that point we say that you are seeing everything as spiritual platform. Only at that state. That means after self-realization, this seeing everything in relationship with Krishna happens. It cannot be done artificially by adjusting my eyes and glasses. It won't work. It is not to be done with the glasses. I use a different lens. Then I'll start seeing everything. Yes, you can do that. But only thing, you'll go and hit something and trip. That's what will happen. But you can see how subtle the science is. At least you can accept what Krishna is saying. That as much as we go inward looking, as much as you move towards closer to the soul, all these things, what we thought important in the beginning, because the objects and the living entities on this world, they are all existing because of the power of the mind. And the mind has got that capacity to see these things in that way only due to the process of creation, how it has happened, what we talked about. Mind has got that potency from the chit potency. But as much as our relationship with the soul is improving, and our identity with the soul becomes a real thing, and that Satchidanandam experience, Satchidanandam experience comes inside, immediately you will see all these things, manifestations from the mind, does not exist anymore. They are all nothing but spirit, nothing but the soul, soul's manifestation. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. So that's the explanation to that verse, and we'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.